Well, I want to thank you again for being online. I just say that because so many want to, at times, will acknowledge something, and they are so grateful. What we've been doing with our Wednesday church as well. And if, in fact, you, I know so many of you, you are young like me, 30 and under, right? That you don't read emails anymore. It's all an Instagram or something else, but do consider signing up. And I would just say, too, the QR code on your today's bulletin card, just scan that on your phone and submit your email address. We want to make sure that you're fully integrated into the life and the affairs of Hope Chapel. Everybody needs a local church. Everybody needs a pastor. I volunteer. You need a pastor like you need a doctor or a dentist. How's that? Is that all right? I don't do either of those, but I do love talking about Jesus. So, and in so doing, let's get ourselves ready. I trust that you brought your Bible, and now that you have your bulletin card, let's make sure we're ready. We will be having communion. So you who are at home, would you consider getting your items like a piece of bread or even water, but juice? We've got our communion cups. We'll be having that at the end of the message, so I'm glad. But let's just pray, and then we'll begin with a couple of jokes. Is that okay? Because some of you get very disturbed if you don't hear a joke. I don't get it. But Father, thank you for your goodness, and thank you for the touch of grace that we already sense the Holy Spirit leading us. And we're talking about you, Holy Spirit. So Lord, since you're a good teacher, do just that, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'll just start with this. It's interesting because we're finding so many of you are brilliant, smart. Reminds me of a story. A kindergarten teacher was talking to her class since school was starting up that there's no one who's dumb in this class, and I just want to make sure you all realize you're smart. So as she stood in the middle of the class, she says, if any of you feel like you might be dumb, just go ahead and stand up. We want to acknowledge you're not. And all of a sudden, a little boy stood up. Oh, Jimmy, do you feel that you're dumb? Oh, no, teacher, I just didn't want you to be the only one standing up. Pretty smart. One last one. 84-year-old lady, senior citizen, realized she was extremely out of shape, and so she decided she would join aerobics for seniors. So on her first class, she just got into it, and right away she was abounding, bent over, twisted, gyrated back and forth, jumped up and down, and perspired for over an hour. And her friend said, wow, what an intense class. She goes, well, once I finally got my leotards on, the class was over. It's interesting, as we are looking at our series, the series we're into this summer session is Staying on the Path of Life. That is the series, Staying on the Path of Life. We're wanting to make sure there could be those among us, or maybe you who are watching, and you're not finding that life is working out. Life's been very, very difficult. So Staying on the Path of Life is our series. Today is part three of that series. And the message is entitled, you can see on your notes, How Holy Spirit's Role in Your Life. That is what we're going to address today. You might find life is not working out so well, and I want to, and I feel very motivated, very moved, that God wants to remind you that there is a helper, a guide to get you on that path of life. Now, that's very important for you, and for some of you, this could be a game changer for you to realize once again how to help ourselves to be led by and guided by the person of the Holy Spirit. And we want to also address maybe there's hindrances that keep us back from really engaging Him. So it's going to be important. I'm trying to take away some of the confusion with this issue, the Holy Spirit. It's something that any follower of Jesus could easily understand and relate to, I'm believing. But the Holy Spirit has to make it real for you and me. So let's begin here. We're looking at point number one, understand the Holy Spirit's role. There's 3 points. We're going to break them down. I'm hoping you'll take some notes. but understanding the Holy Spirit's role. Letter A, Holy Spirit indwells every follower of Christ. If you have accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord, you're not just a believer. I like the word follower. That's literally what that means. I'm following. He's leading. Whatever he says goes. But every believer has the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. Let's look here at 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. Let's let segments of the Scripture confirm this and say, wow, it does indeed say that. Now, I'm reading from the New Living Translation, 1 John chapter 4, verse 13. And God has given us His Spirit as proof that we live in Him and He in us. Who's in us? Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting because the Scripture is talking about the indwelling His Spirit. What is that? It's the Holy Spirit. It is that one-third portion or personality of what we call the Trinity. We know there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and each have a distinct personality that constitutes the one God. It's an amazing thing, and I'm not here to explain the Trinity. I just want to let you know, over 2,000 years, people have tried to explain the Trinity. I got to tell you something, the Bible doesn't even explain the Trinity. So I'm not here today to explain the Trinity, but I am going to try to show us how to relate to the third member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. I think the Bible's very clear on that. So every person has material part to them. We could see you. You're aware of this physical realm. And then we have immaterial part. That's that spirit person. We have a spirit. And when we accept Christ, that spirit comes alive. Jesus said, except a man be born again of the spirit, you can't even enter into the things of the kingdom. So that's important. And God has made us in His image. God is a spirit. God's a spirit. You may not see Him, but He's here. And Jesus said that in John 4, 23. God is a spirit, and those who are going to worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So it's that spirit that makes that connection. If you've ever accepted Jesus, then that connection has been engaged. That's important for us to understand. That wireless connection takes place. I like that. That's probably one of the biggest things that I realized. I had thoughts I didn't think about how to be a nicer guy. That was amazing. I was a little devious before. Let's go on to letter B, the Holy Spirit's function as our permanent helper. Now, that's important when we take a look at this. John chapter 14. Now, this is not the epistle, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. This is the gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I'm going to John chapter 14. Now, it's worth noting, you who are reading your Bibles annually with us, it's been great. Love John. We're in John. John, as he writes, you know, there's 21 chapters. This is a side note. 21 chapters in the Gospel of John. Did you know only 10 chapters, the first 10, address Jesus' entire life? The latter 11 chapters deal with the last week of Jesus' life. I wonder what God wants you to be aware of, huh? Yes, your redemption on the cross. And here in chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 17, there's a lot of red letter in that portion. Jesus is talking up a storm. So if you know somebody has those final hours, you would want to pop up and take note what they're wanting to say. And Jesus is telling them, I am going away. And they're bummed about it. They're bummed. He says, it's actually to your advantage that I'm going away. And so they could not see it at that time. How could somebody have multiplied fish and loaves, feed 5,000? How can somebody resurrect the dead? How could it be to our advantage? He's taken off from us. But he says one thing, and that's in verse 16. I'm in John 14. And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another advocate. New King James says, I will give you another helper. If you've been with me in level two of OSL, we talk about that lesson, another helper. Woohoo. Now, I like that, another advocate. When Jesus says another, he says another one like me, but not me. I'm going to ask the Father. You see the Trinity played out here. I'm going to ask the Father, and he's going to send you, not me again, another one, another advocate who will never leave you. Verse 17, he is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you and now, and later he will be in you. I see that, and I know you do too. It's important for us to acknowledge and recognize that. That word advocate, the Holy Spirit as our advocate, literally means that that's one that pleads the cause of another, defends another, supportive and promotes another's agenda. It's pretty impressive. Holy Spirit's all about helping you make sure you stay on that path. That's important. Another advocate. Where's Jesus? Well, he's here with us, naturally. But he completed his journey on the cross. Remember, he yelled out, "It is finished," and gave up his spirit. And then he advanced to the right hand of the Father. Holy Spirit's here right now. Oh, don't we appreciate the help? So we have this advocate, and it's important. So by definition, what the Holy Spirit does, that's important. That's a very active role. The Holy Spirit is not passive. Because we're going to address saying, well, if he's that active, how come I feel so bailed on? Let's carry it just a little bit more. Letter C, Holy Spirit acts as our truth guide. Now, let's go on to chapter 16, still in John. Everybody with me? John 16, 13. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you. Notice it's a he, not an it. Don't go saying it, the Holy, like some kind of a essential oil product out there somewhere. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will tell you what he has heard, and he will tell you about the future. Now, we're all about that, are we not, on Wednesday night? Jesus and the end times. Verse 14, and he will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me. Now, Holy Spirit only guides us according to what is true. Check it out. This is an important point. Well, they're all important points, but he only guides us into what is true. Now, that's important because notice that he's called the Spirit of truth. Therefore, if you don't believe in truth, if you don't have any absolute standards, you're really jeopardizing what the Holy Spirit has to offer, because he's the Spirit of truth. He's only guiding into truth. He is not the Spirit of suggestions. He's not called the Spirit of options. He's not the Spirit of many paths. He's the Spirit of truths. And for you or I or anyone that says, you know, I just think it's like up to whatever the opinion might be, you will not hear what he has to say. So it's important. It's important. He never steers us in some meaningless direction. I have found that to be the case. Oh, man, I love life. It's like, what are we going to get to do today, Jesus and Holy Spirit? It's important when we get a chance to recognize that. Our own little GPS system, God's positioning system. Are you in position? Because it really takes, this is that following that will lead us into really further blessing. And we just came through that series. Check it out with us, our season to bless. Well, let's take a look. Some of you are saying, man, that all sounds so good, Pastor Paul. If that's so good, how come I still feel so lost? And I get it. And this is an important point. Maybe this could be the day for so many of us. Let's go to point number two, remove the hindrances. Letter A says sin hinders the Holy Spirit's role in our life. So let's check it out. Again, we're letting just segments of the Scripture speak to us, making the point, because we discover it in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 4, Verse 30, and do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, that's what the Bible says, remember, he has identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. I am so glad the Holy Spirit has come. How wonderful for that gift to happen to us. But just because each follower of Jesus has the indwelling Holy Spirit does not mean that we are following him. It does not mean that we are listening to him. He's there, but that does not mean we're automatically in that flow of blessing. It's important. Sin can really disengage that. That's why we love to have every Christian. There's that second wave of blessing. It's called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But we're just talking about just every Christian right now has that indwelling Holy Spirit. Let's just get you back on the path of life, operating and enjoying the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is a person, we can actually bring him sorrow. I know you realize that. A lot of times the things I do, I just, oh, I wish I did that better with that individual. Feel like I fluffed them off. I feel like I grieved the Holy Spirit. Have you ever had that? You just kind of like, ooh, I think I probably need to call that person up and say, I'm really, you know, when I said that, that was rude and untimely, and I'm glad. I'm glad when people do that to me. That means they are listening to the Holy Spirit. If somebody comes in, well, I've never had to confess sin since 1986. Whoa, don't be my friend here. Hello, come on. So it's important that we take a look at that and understand that, to be in fellowship. Now, please, you recognize, if you hang out with humans, and we are, that we're not perfect people. And you have to practice something called confession. Have to practice confessing your sins to God. That re-engages us into fellowship. That's where the blessings are. You want to maintain fellowship. Does that mean if we're not in fellowship, we miss heaven? No, heaven's a given. But it's wretched here on this planet without relationship with Almighty God. Why would you want to do that? Plus, everybody else that knows you feels wretched because you become irritable and angry. And let's get back to just confessing, so important. So if we delay, and it's a part of the Lord's Prayer, right? Forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. If we delay confessing, we're talking hindrances here, then we really delay the opportunity to really have the Lord lead us. Then we're now operating in our own intellect or our own wisdom, our own resource, and we're prone, I find me prone to make more mistakes. So isn't it nice to say, man, this could be one of those kitches that just keeps me back from experiencing the flow of the Holy Spirit? That could be your answer today. Just make sure it's a part of your time in prayer with God. Lord, is there anything in here that's restricting me from hearing you? Letter B, busyness hinders the Holy Spirit's role in our life too. Now, that's important, busyness, because in our day and age, in our culture, that is such, it's almost like a given. You're not even quite productive if you're not multitasking and have multiple pans on the fryer. But look at 1 Thessalonians 5:19, and I'll just add 20 through 22, but it says, do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil. That's pretty direct. You don't even have to kind of interpret that. It's not even a parable. It's like in your face. Yow. But we can stifle the Holy Spirit since the Bible says we can. And there's probably a number of ways, but probably the most common is when we are too distracted. And I want to address our live stream audience. I'm glad you're here. You can always go back and rewind me and see what's going on, but what if the Holy Spirit's trying to get your attention and you're too distracted? That's the only setback from not being focused like everyone else here in the chapel. I find an interesting story, and it's one that constantly, it's the story of Mary and Martha. We're familiar with that. I like what Jesus said to her. If you were to look at Luke chapter 10, just write it down, Luke 10, verse 40. Remember when Martha is working very hard for a supper for all her guests, and she needs help, and she demands that, it's like everybody, let's go, instead of going straight to the person, come help me, Jesus, go tell my sister Mary to help me. This is what Jesus said in verse 41. We'll put that one up in Luke chapter 10, verse 41. But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha," how many know that's really, that's a term of endearment, "you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." So just being distracted, just being busy, when you're saying, "I haven't really heard from the Holy Spirit," then I want to say we could be hitting one of those bing bell buttons and say, you know what, maybe I need to make some shifts and some changes. And we are all good folks. We're doing good things, nothing sinful. But I'm saying, if life is difficult, you need to get back on the path of life, then you need to find a time where you can hear the Holy Spirit and listen to what he says. The real issue is you're just moving in such a hectic pace, and we want the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to speak on my terms, and I haven't really carved out a time for him to speak to me. You might be doing that too. I'm going to just discover God speaks to me like this. Maybe when you're in the lineup. I don't know. People have time, but just carve out that time. We hear the Holy Spirit really in quietness and rest and at peace. If you find that nest egg, then you're in a good place to really hear him speak to you. That's why we just love Sundays. We get to come to church. And nobody's, you might be thinking about that roast in the oven and just, did I set it up to three? Yeah, you know how that is. But it's important we get a chance. So create habits that are so important. Every Christian has those. Every Christian has those. If real follower of Jesus has scheduled times of prayer, scheduled times of reading the word naturally, and listening to God. If you've been with us, and it's even on our resource page and our website, something that's called Half Hour with God in Prayer, 6 stages, I have placed the second 5 minutes. All of these are 5 minutes, 30 minutes, out the door you go. It will literally revolutionize your relationship with God. But the second is waiting on God, which is nothing but silently listening. I'm so glad this morning I get up at 4:30. My house can be rather busy this time of season in our lives. But I heard the Lord say, and I'm so grateful I got up. I always have the coffee made. That helps me get up, by the way, huh? Hello, Mojo. And I'm literally in the quietness of the living room. I hear the Lord say my name. I really believe it was the Lord, the Holy Spirit. And say it to me, do not worry about this relative. And that's a big time worry. A matter of fact, to the point where I get angry when I think about that. That was so helpful. I don't know how the Lord's going to remedy that, but I felt like God says, I am going to soon take care of this issue. Glory to God. Amen. Now, that was a fresh piece of manna for me today. I'm so glad I paused to get up early. Now, I could just say I'm going to get up at 7, squeeze out as much time as I can, and rush into church. But what if I didn't get up early? I'd have missed that. I need that. So do you. Let's take a look at number C. Doubt hinders the Holy Spirit's role in our life. Doubt does. And I like what James has to say. He's writing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. James chapter 1, verse 5. Says, if you need wisdom, I do, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. and he will not rebuke you for asking. Now look at verse 5. It's one of my beautiful key ingredients. It describes more about the heart of God than about what our needs are. Check that out. Our generous God. He won't rebuke any of us for coming and saying, hey, I need, I demand. Check that. That is a beautiful description. He'll be generous and he'll give it to you. I love that. I want everybody to know the Lord. What a great privilege we have. Well, let's go on just a little bit. Verse 6. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver. For a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Now, it's amazing. You take a look at that. Because if we don't believe the Holy Spirit is actually going to speak to us, if you don't believe he's going to speak to you, that doubt will make you waver. That doubt. You're basically like, might as well just wait for somebody maybe on a Sunday setting. You've heard me say, if Sunday sermons are your only way of spiritual input, you're on the ICU drip system. You could do so much better on your own and hear what the Lord has to say. And as Scripture says, doubts make us unstable. We're tossed. Literally, it says that, tossed by the wind, which means what kind of wind's coming our way? Culture, opinions. Ask somebody. Everybody's got their opinion. They'll tell you what they think. Like, okay, now what do I choose? Ask God for that insight that you need. Glory to God. Ask him, he'll give it to you. Life is so unpredictable. It's amazing. Now here's another area of doubt, because the point in letter C is doubt hinders the Holy Spirit's role in our life. Is when you hear something on a Sunday, you say, that is a timely line for me to hear. And then you go out the doors, and then you doubt whether you should really apply it or not. Did I really hear from God? It happens all the time with prophetic utterances. It's amazing. We're just human. We're temporal. That's why we really do encourage you, grab one of those pens in the pocket, take a few notes. God might speak to you. You've got stuff to do today, and you'll get kind of busy and distracted. But you doubt that you actually heard from God. That could possibly be the case. Doubt shuts down the work of the Holy Spirit. Think about it. How many times you have come to a Christian setting convinced, I need to hear this, only to doubt, maybe I really didn't hear that. That hinders the work of the Holy Spirit. So, letter D, ignoring the Word of God hinders the Holy Spirit's role in our life. That's a given, but it is worth noting. I mean, the Holy Spirit is the guide to truth, John 14. Holy Spirit's the guide to truth. Holy Spirit, well, he's basically also the one who is the Spirit of truth. He inspired people to write this book. You would think he's going to want to speak to you through the book. I like Psalm 119, verse 105. Says, your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. That's our series, Staying on the Path of Life. Boy, the word of God is wonderful. It's his word. He's going to speak what he has actually put down. The amount of ways that God has spoken to me through the word, I have lost count. It's pretty awesome. That's what really makes me get with a little something to write with, get my Bible out. Have my coffee there. It's pretty nice. But to ignore time in the Word of God, doesn't that just sound like you're setting yourself up for just times of just displaced attitudes and actions? I remember story one. I've got numerous times just God calling me out of the family printing business using the Word of God. I remember Ainsley and I, and by this time we had three children, we were pastoring in Banning, California, right there between San Bernardino and Palm Springs. There we were, called the Pass area. And We pastored there for 15 years, but at the 10-year mark, I was feeling like something might be up. And we had a call from our supervisor, Paul and Ainsley. We've got this church we want to offer you. It's a superintendent role. We think that you would really do well there. Would you pray about that? We got so excited. Thought that maybe that's it, 10-year mark, we're done here, we'll go on and carry on. And we actually looked into that, went into that community, felt something wasn't quite right. And then Lord speak to me, and he used Psalm 37, verse 3. Basically, dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord. I love that. Do good. Feed on his faithfulness. Dwell in the land. I said, man, we're staying. We stayed for five more. And I'm so glad. Because then 5 years later, it says, how about Huntington Beach? I don't even need to pray about it. Yeah. God has spoken. So it's important that we get a chance to just take a look at that. Get in the book every day. Let's go on just a little bit. Number three, practice listening and follow. Talked about the hindrances and the role the Holy Spirit has in our life. I want to just say to each of us, you've heard me say this too, there comes a time in a Christian's life you've got to cross the line. You've got to actually cross the line and say, I'm going to do this. You don't just say, well, I'm going to wait till a better day or maybe when I feel like it. It will never come. You just say, I know I'm going to do it. I'm going to cross the line and go for it. And point number three, practice listening and following, is one of those areas of the line. Letter A, acknowledge the voice of the Holy Spirit. At least do that. Holy Spirit speaks, and I'm going to learn what he sounds like to me. I got to move just a little bit further, but let's take a look here. I like acknowledging the voice of the Holy Spirit. 1 Samuel chapter 3, great story of the prophet Samuel. As a young boy, he was learning to acknowledge the Holy Spirit and became a great prophet of God. But he started hearing that. Some of our own children can hear the voice of the Lord. Help nurture that, dear mom, dad, guardians. Help nurture that. You know what God sounds like to you. You can help them. But look at 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10. And the Lord came and called as before, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel replied, speak, your servant is listening. Isn't that interesting? If you take a look at that, the story of Samuel is outstanding. And from that moment on, the high priest showed, you pay attention and just tell him, speak, Lord. I'm here to listen. What a great way to acknowledge. I know he's going to speak. I'm going to be waiting for him to speak to me. I remember as a young upstart pastor, it was just 3 weeks into that Banning Foursquare church, and I say, Lord, I'm not very educated. I feel I need more training, more exposure. What am I doing here? I guess I can't ruin a church of 12 members. I think I'll be okay. And we were doing a morning and a Sunday night. And I remember the Lord told me, at the end of your message, have those 12 members face each other and just pray for each other to learn what it is when I work through them, not just you. So I came to the end of the message. And our wonderful sister on the piano, who knew all of three hymns, when I was saying, let's just face off, she, oh, brother, you know you're in trouble when somebody says, brother, that's not the way we do things here. Everybody, come on down to the altar. We'll just hold hands. And it was kind of like a kumbaya moment, right? So I just let it roll, and I realized, and I had to come back to sister later. And I felt like the Lord gave me the words. You know how you ever just speak beyond your ability? It's like, wow, where did I get that? And I just said, dear sister, you recognize that God works through authority, don't you? Oh, yes, I do, because this person was a retired pastor. And there's now a pastor here. And if God's going to want to do something, he's going to want to speak through that person in charge. So the next time you feel the direction to lead the whole group one way or the other, please check with me, and I could bear witness with you that, hey, I think that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Doesn't that sound great? It works great for husbands and wife teams that are walking with the Lord. Hey, you know how she took it? She flared up, yelled at me, you insolent. Wow. Because I said, Lord, if she reacts, then that wasn't you leading us. That was maybe of another spirit. That was a big learning curve. She just said, well, if you don't want me at this church, then I'm not going to be here. I said, well, sister, if God wants you at the church, you can't stay. But if he wants you to go, you can't stay either. You've got to just either or. And she did leave. But she actually came back 2 years later. God was gracious to flourish that church. She came back and honestly was one of my best advocates till God took her home. She was quite incredible. It's an amazing thing how we get our feelings hurt when we don't really listen to the Holy Spirit. It's more of our own unction. That's where a lot of fights happen at home. You didn't slow down long enough to really say, well, let's just give way and walk in a point of humility. So it's important to acknowledge that. You can imagine now, if I were to talk to my dear wife and I'm listening to my favorite product called National Geographic and she's trying to talk to me and I'm looking, that's going to be quite frustrating, don't you think? Yes. Now, if I don't even turn it off but look at her, honey, dear, your husband is here to listen. That's very helpful. The Holy Spirit is a person and can quite be upset and injured when we don't listen. Therefore, it's important when we get a chance to pay attention. It drives all of us crazy when we think that we're being ignored. Anybody out there like that? You get flat ticked off. And the Holy Spirit can be grieved by that too. So letter B, recognize the voice of the Holy Spirit. Check it out with John chapter 10, verse 27. It says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one can snatch them away from me. Glory to God. I just like that one. It's worth it. But we should know his voice. It's very important to be able to do that. The world is telling us what we should believe and what we should do. Be careful. Be careful. If the soon return of Christ is coming, you will have volumes of information come your way. But be careful. God wants us to learn to be able to recognize and distinguish his voice. Got a cute little documentary that I was watching, The Voice of Recognition. I want to show you Penguin Colony. There we go. Check it out. Penguin Colony. Now, whenever a mother or a father penguin go off into the ocean to feed, guess what they have to find to feed when they come back? There's tens of thousands of these babies. How do you find your child in that chaos? Voice recognition. It's an amazing thing. If God can help a bird do that, he can help you and me. I'm down. Tweet, tweet. It's important that we get a chance. Let's take a look how to recognize his voice. Just some bullet points. We'll hit them briefly and hit our last point and certainly welcome our worship team up. How do you recognize you will hear his voice when you are quiet? Yeah, we talked about that. It's a given. His voice will always be consistent with the Bible, his word. It'll never be contrary. And if you ever find it contradicts the word, come see one of your spiritual leaders. Third bullet point, his voice will always produce peace, assurance, joy, comfort, and conviction. Conviction means not condemnation. There's a difference. But it sure is fun to be before the Lord. You get so filled with peace. It's an amazing thing. And when something contrary happens in life, because life brings stuff, you will still have peace because you get a chance to go back to what you believe. You heard from the Holy Spirit. Fourth, his voice always makes you want to be closer to him. He attracts us to God. You are hearing him say, see, I've been wanting you to come read your Bible more. That's the Holy Spirit. He is all about uniting you with your Heavenly Father through the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, not only acknowledge and then recognize, but let her see, act on the voice of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 25. Since we are living by the Spirit, that's us, that's all of us. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. It's very clear, isn't it? Every part means every area. Think with me, is there an area you haven't really allowed him to take advantage of? He'll show you. We really sometimes play with our own agenda. But the blessings are on the path of life. The blessings from God. And there comes a time, and today's it, where you just take that step and cross over. The best adventure in your life is today. It really is today. You and I have all done our own things in the past. You could still go back and do it the old way. Why not? But how about a great adventure with God, the Holy Spirit? Man, doesn't that just make it so tasty? So with this today, it's going to be important. Make that choice. We're going to have communion. We're going to enjoy that. We're going to celebrate what Jesus Christ has done for us to open up the opportunities for us to have a relationship with Almighty God. That is so bizarre to think about that. You who have Jesus, you are possessed. Can I say that in a nice way?
Amen.
With the indwelling Holy Spirit. I know a neighbor or two that's not a believer. They are possessed. They need Jesus. I'd much rather yield my life to God, the Holy Spirit. Anybody else out there like that? Jesus, we love you. Jesus, we adore you. I want to thank you for joining us today at Hope Chapel, Huntington Beach. It's our desire to bring the teachings of this church to others globally. If today's message has brought you closer to Jesus, we want to know. Can you send us an email to office@hopechapelhb.org? Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? You can give securely online at hopechapelhb.org/give. If a check is your preferred method, you can send a mailed check to Hope Chapel, P.O. Box 548, Huntington Beach, California, 92648. If you want to be contacted by Hope Chapel, would you consider subscribing to our weekly newsletters at hopechapelhb.org/subscribe? Whatever season of life you're in, we want to go through it with you. We want to thank you once again for joining us, and God bless you.